That's right. That's right. The eagle has landed. We landed right on your air box, right in your airwaves. We landed on your podcast. We've landed here on Blog Talk Radio. We've landed on Apple Music, and we about to go to even more platforms because it's just simply what we do. This is the Brothers. I'm your boy Dre, Mo's in the building, all the way from the city of Charm, city of Cops, city of The Wire, city of Craft Cakes, city of big places with dolphins and fish going everywhere, city of candy stores that ain't never open, city of big old steak shops that close before dusk, city of Baltimore. Mo's on the building, your boy Dre from the First State in the building. You've tuned into the Brothers, and we're here once again on your live box. Mo, say what's up to the people.
What's up, people? How you doing?
I I be giving y'all so much energy, and they give you and they come with these retirement highs. I feel some type of way.
Get over it. Get over it.
I feel some type of way. But yeah, welcome to the city of the brothers once again. We're excited to be back on your airwaves. We got a hot show for you guys tonight. We know you guys are going to anticipate to love this show. Don't forget, if you want to join us at any time, you want to be a caller, and you want to listen in live, you can listen in just by going on a link. But if you want to be a caller or a guest on the show just to give your opinion of tonight's topic, feel free to do so. 319-527-6083, 319-527-6083. And I'm going to repeat it again before we get into tonight's discussion. But it's a whole lot of ish going on in the hot topics. It's a lot going on in society. And we want to make sure that you guys are up to date on what's going on with the media or with just entertainment or with sports, which I'm not quite been following because my team, although they're doing good, don't pay my bills. But, yeah, so we're going to let you guys get caught up on hot topics on today. Maurice, what we got going on in hot topics?
Well, on Saturday, King Charles now. King Charles had his coronation, and he is now officially the King of England with his lovely wife, the Queen Consort, Camilla.
Stop that lie.
Camilla is now the Queen Consort of England. She is not rightfully the queen because, of course, you know, due to the scandal, she's not the queen. She's the queen consort. So, yeah, that happened on Saturday. The late Princess Diana was given the title of Princess of Wales, even when she divorced Charles. Queen Elizabeth still allowed her to hold that title. And so the Princess of Wales, even though King Charles had the title of Prince of Wales, Camilla was not given that right because, of course, it was given to Diana, even though she was deceased. And so when Charles became king, that title went to his daughter-in-law, Kate. And she is stylized as the, because, what's his name? William. Ooh. Is the king. I forgot the title name. William is the Prince of Wales. So that title went to Kate. Yeah. It's because of the controversy of the whole marriage and the, you know, affair and all that good stuff.
Yeah. Say what you want to say. The worst of the five pieces now in the queen.
Yeah, but there's still family drama, as Harry was not invited to attend the balcony. Was not allowed to attend the balcony picture. If you look at the picture, Henry was missing. Harry was missing. I'm sorry, Prince Harry was missing. But he immediately left after the ceremony to return back to the United States because his son was celebrating his fourth birthday. So he immediately left. So, yeah, that's some family drama that is, I don't think will ever in our life or will ever be resolved as of right now. Huge family drama.
Awesome. Little Mermaid's film there or had their, what do they call it?
Part of the world.
Under the sea. Under the sea. So they had their private screening in Los Angeles. It was well attended. I really want to say that what really, really, really did me well watching the number of attendees was Offset bringing his children and the gowns they had on for the red carpet. Blue.
Oh, they had gowns on?
Blew my mind. Like, it has been trending all day, but this, the gowns that Offset's babies wore, they were regal.
For the Little Mermaid premiere.
For the Little Mermaid premiere. Yes.
Okay.
For the premiere, for the world premiere of The Little Mermaid. They were absolutely, like, listen, when I see someone who enjoys being a father and enjoys making sure that their children are exposed to culture, it does my heart well, because we don't see that enough in the African-American community. And, I mean, just stunning children. So Offset, keep up the good work, man. You definitely, definitely did the thing. Of course, Chloe looked wonderful, as she should, being that she's the one who's, you know, in the play or in the movie. But Offset did a wonderful job. I was just like, yes. You know, it just did my heart well. It did my heart well. I actually just sent you.
All right.
I see that you didn't. I noticed you didn't catch it.
sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. I know you work hard. You work hard. Praise the Lord.
Money. Oh, yes.
Gowns.
Yeah,
they left no crumbs.
That's how you do a world premiere.
Listen. Speaking of world premiere and epic leaps and bounds, Ginuwine decided to hop his old one stage to another, and he almost had a 10 until he landed. So Ginuwine fell off of a stage. He jumped first, and he tried to land on the lower stage. That wasn't for old people to do that, Ginuwine. That AARP membership is calling your name. However, after his fall, he said he is doing fine, and he can't wait to tour. For those who have Ginuwine coming to your venue, I would suggest you get stairs if you have a double stage, because apparently jumping is not in his repertoire anymore. Neither is much of his choreography. You know, Ginuwine, what you might want to do is just stand still and sing. Let the young people you got in the background, the crowd, you not there no more, pimp. You ain't been there since you got off the pony you was riding. So we wish you a speedy recovery. That Bengay works very well. Epsom salt can help.
Yes.
Sore muscles. But please know, dog, you almost died trying to entertain your fans. And I do understand, as a performer, you want to give it your all. But when you have a dad bod and your muscles and your bones match your bod, you might want to go ahead and sat down somewhere. Just stand still and sing. You ain't even got to jump and hype the crowd no more. You did that long enough. There's gray in your hair and in your beard until you die. Just go ahead, stand still and sing. It ain't none of your friends' business. If you can't jump no more, just stand still and sing. And your ticket sales might just go up even higher, but just stand still and sing, my friend. You did good, though. You did good. You put on a show. But you had us a little nervous.
Well, apparently, when he fell, he got up.
That's what Donnie McClurkin said. We fall down, but we get
up. like nothing happened.
That's what you do when you play like you didn't just fall and you embarrassed. You get up and you continue on and do what the show calls for you to do. But Genuine and Bobby Brown need to go have some gym sessions and some choreography sessions with some people who can tell them the truth about themselves. You're not as young as you used to be, but we are glad that you're okay. Bless his heart. Robert De Niro has become a father for the seventh time at 79 years old.
I wonder if his child is biracial. Because if you all know, if Robert De Niro was married to a black woman, of color.
All right.
If I'm not mistaken, they since divorced.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I don't know if he it doesn't say who the baby mama is on the AP news, but it does say that he is a father for the seventh time. His oldest child is 51, and then he now has a newborn. From the newborn, the second to the youngest child is 11. So his kids go 51, 46 from the first marriage. Then he has 27-year-old twins, 24-year-old, an 11-year-old, and now the baby. Kudos to Robert De Niro. I don't know if he's trying to tie James Brown or not, but the object of having kids is to make sure that you watch them grow. Sometimes you just got to call it a day. I guess he figured, at his age, them soldiers was winded, but these soldiers kept moving through.
Robert De Niro has a thing for women of color.
which is good.
Wives look to be women of color.
Listen, most Italians like the women of color. I'm just saying, sometimes you gotta woosah, brother. Like, you 79. Just in case one of them swimmers got their life vest on and remains afloat. You don't want to keep having babies at 79. It don't look good. This is my mother.
How old is Robert De Niro?
79.
Dang, he almost 80, and he has a newborn.
Yeah, ooh, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. 79.
Will he even be alive to see this one turn 18?
Hello, that's what I'm saying. You would want to be at graduation, Robert. Lord,
he'll be 97 years old. He'll be 97. Ooh, Robert.
Yeah, somebody roll my dad in here, please, so he can get to the stage to see me walk.
My son. That's my son.
I can't. Well, we're glad that you're alive and it's apparent that you're healthy. Congratulations.
Thank
on
still making babies.
Yeah. You're still making babies. Brazil's long reigning queen of rock, Rita Lee, has passed away at the age of 75, gaining international fame from hits such as Ovelha Negra, Mania da Volta, Devoce, and Now Only Miss You. Rita Lee has passed away at her home in Sao Paulo on Monday evening, according to a statement on her official Instagram account. Her cause of death, of course, is not immediately disclosed, but she had retired in early 2010s from stage performances, and she was diagnosed in 2021 with lung cancer. Though her son announced a year later that she had defeated the illness, her career has spanned 6 decades. and she has left a lasting mark with her irreverence, creativity, and compositions containing messages that helped introduce Brazilian society to feminism while also candidly addressing her struggles with drug abuse. She would definitely be missed, and we are praying and sending condolences to her family. Rita Lee is one of Brazil's hottest singers, and we do hope that the family takes this time of remembrance to remember and celebrate her legacy.
Right. Rest in peace.
Back in your hands.
Oh, back in my hands.
You know, I'm trying to bounce off of each other with these hot topics here.
Why not? In Texas this weekend, there was a shooting at a mall. There were about 9 people that were killed. A family of 4, only the surviving 6-year-old son. The shooter was actually killed in that as well. There are 9 dead, including the gunman. I'm extremely concerned about our, like, what's going on in this world where people are these mass shootings. This is getting out of hand. And I'm extremely concerned about, you know, one day you could be in a mall, you can be in a hospital, you can be at a church, you can be in your house, and someone just decides to take your life. Where we have to really get behind this and figure out what is going on with the mental well-being of these people, because it's getting out of control. It's getting out of control. So many mass shootings have happened. We gotta get a handle on this in this country. It's so bad that other countries are making restrictions or warnings about traveling to the U.S.
Absolutely.
So we need to get a handle on this.
If the Republicans stop playing and go ahead and just sign a freaking bill and be in agreement with the gun control bill that needs to be implemented, I don't think we would have half the issues we have. Part of the issue is just that their families aren't the families who are getting shot. See, I believe you start hitting some of these families of these Republican leaders and watch how fast this gun control law gets signed. You don't believe me? Listen, y'all criminals out there that's listening right now, you like to play Grand Theft Auto? Go Grand Theft Auto some of these Republican family members. See how fast things change in America. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I think once it starts hitting their thing, I agree. Once starting there, then we want to make changes. But it's too many. We have a person going to a school shooting up elementary school kids. You have people shooting people in malls, in hospitals. You have people, you know, it's crazy. And we refuse to do anything because it's not hit my family. It's only, our hearts go out to the families of the victims. And really, we really need to change. What's going on in this country? It's getting out of hand.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's talk about these Taylor Swift tickets. Did you see the prices of Taylor Swift tickets?
No, I did not. But I'm not a fan of Taylor Swift. I'm glad I went.
I'm not a fan of Taylor Swift either, but her tickets in Philadelphia are starting at $2,000.
What is she trying to be like Beyonce?
All I know is when she dropped her ticket sales, when she opened up for ticket sales, the Ticketmaster sites today literally froze. So I just want to say big ups to Taylor Swift that you are able to shut down the internet with a $2,000 ticket, which I don't understand the price to these tickets. I don't understand the price of Beyonce's tickets. Beehive, sue me. I don't understand the price of these tickets either. Like, I just feel like, you know, certain things, like, let's just be real. Sometimes we have to look at our demographics of who our stars are or who our fans are. And we have to be able to really say to ourselves, do I really want, like, is my music really that important? Not saying that people can't afford your tickets. I'm saying there are people who are buying your tickets and not paying their bills. Or there are people who are maxing out credit cards just to say I was in the audience to some of these shows. Like, let's be real. Like, in a time where we are streaming music, we're not even buying CDs anymore. We're streaming music. Like, let's get this together, because I really feel like the next thing they're going to do is stream concerts and make you pay like an arm and leg. It's going to be pay-per-view concerts, watch, because it's going to be a thing that fans are not going to show up
to
these shows anymore. And so, yeah, that just bothers me, though. It's something that always bothered me. And it's not just the new people, some of the older people too. But, you know, I can see a $300 ticket, a $500 ticket. You know, that's different. You know, WWE charges a little bit over $700 for WrestleMania, but that's for the entire weekend. The cheapest ticket for the entire weekend is $700. It's not just a one-day event. And I do want people to understand that, you know, something
different if it's a one-day event. I like that idea. If it's a one-day event, I can see that happening. But these, multiple-day event, I can see that those prices. But if it's a one-day concert, why am I paying $2,000, $3,000 to hear you sing live the same songs I can hear you on my
that
Spotify or my Apple Music? The only difference is I'm going to get more of a show. I'm not opposed to, but
yeah.
We good, Beyonce. We love you, Beyonce, but we don't love you like that to go in debt.
I don't
I have a coworker. She's actually going to France, and she's going to see Beyonce. And she said the ticket prices overseas are much cheaper.
Overseas, yes. My cousin is going to London to see Beyonce because the ticket prices are much cheaper overseas. However, the flight, if you add the flight and the hotel and the ticket price, you probably could have just stayed in the States. Like, not even knocking it. But it's still, I mean, the experience, I'm quite sure, is going to be way different. But, Lord, I just don't understand, folks. I'm not going to hold y'all. Like, I question some people. I understand, like, I really understand why some people never have never gotten married based off of their decisions in life. Like, like, nobody wants to wake up to someone that they say I do to. And it's like, hey, baby, the credit card company made a mistake on our credit card statement this week, this month. And it's like, oh, no, they didn't. I'm going to London to see Beyonce. Oh, what? I wish you would.
Well, if someone wants to treat me to a concert, I'm always open. Just want to let y'all know. If someone wants to treat me to a concert, heck, we can go to Patti LaBelle. Oh, yeah. We ain't gotta go to Beyonce. We can go to Patti, okay?
No, that's right. You might get a better show because she's touring with Gladys right now.
Oh, speaking of that, this morning, so it was announced that Frankie Beverly was retiring, only to discover that was not true.
Oh, damn.
He is not retiring. What has happened is, the original band from Frankie Beverly Maze has decided to start their own band and call themselves formerly Maze Frankie Beverly. And they're doing an all-white tour. Here's the shade. Shade. And they've hired a new singer. His name is Chris Walker, I think. Yes, that was funny this morning.
They should have done it. Have you been to Frankie Beverly and Maze lately?
No. Frankie Beverly actually owns the rights to the name. He owns the rights to the name. Maze.
Which is fine.
So.
But let me explain something to you. I paid $95.
Oh, God.
To go see Frankie Beverly. So I paid for three tickets to see Frankie Beverly, and I sung more than he did. He's stubborn.
Yeah.
He's stubborn as hell. His health is failing, and he won't give it up. And what he has to understand is when folk are coming to your show, they're coming to see the entire group. They're not coming just to see Frankie Beverly. Frankie, Ronnie Isley, y'all need to go sat down. I paid to go see Ronnie Isley twice. Ronnie Isley's dress change was longer than his performance on stage.
Oh, Lord.
Sat down. Every song took his breath away. After every song, he was, Jesus, Lord. Sat down. You can't do it no more. It's okay. We get it. You've been around since Kentucky Fried Chicken had dark red boxes while they were called, what was the name of the people? Geno's. They was Geno's when you first came out. Sat down. It's okay. We'll be all right.
How old is Frankie Beverly?
Frankie, I don't even know how old Frankie Beverly is, but I know Frankie couldn't hold a note. He kept putting the mic onto the audience. Every time he turned around, hey, get the mic to the audience. I did not pay for me to headline your tour, sir.
He's 76 years old.
Well, I booed his 76-year-old behind because I was upset that you had the audacity to charge people for that foolishness. You didn't sing a jazz fest. You sung a headlining tour, and you couldn't perform. Sat down. I'd rather him have lip sync. I would have been all right with that. The band did wonderful. Maze had everything going. They was bumping. They had the crowd was jumping. The background singer was on point. But the lead singer, the one who has to be in the spotlight, could not perform. Sir, please sit down somewhere. Go back to your home, wherever home is, and retire. And stop being so angry that you can't do it. Let them people have the name to who they helped make famous. If you didn't have the band, you wouldn't be no good anyway.
Right. So it's interesting that this is all happening. And the shade about it is they're doing an all-white tour.
Listen.
So you know that's Frankie Beverly's, you know that's his signature. He wears all-white. So.
Mm-hmm. That's all right. I will piss him off, too. Piss him off until he stops being childish. You didn't have throat cancer. You didn't have operations. You didn't have to sat down. Because you got sick, the band couldn't go on tour. Because you got sick, the band couldn't perform. Like anybody else would have told the band, you know what, y'all keep doing what y'all do, and I'm just going to go ahead and, you know, I'm gonna take this week off. Oh, no, not old Frankie. Oh, no, if they can't see me, nobody can go. Maybe you don't sit your old ass down somewhere. They're coming to see me.
It sounds like the Temptation movie. Bang.
You know, you're right. You are absolutely right.
It's funny because when I think about, and you know, you don't think about men being divas as much as women being divas, but it's funny how once you climb up the ladder, how big your head can get, and so. Mm. It's interesting that, you know, his former bandmates are now saying, "Nah, we good. We gonna go our own route."
I wanna go
to this all white tour and be like, "Oh my god."
Like, yo, they killed
it. They're killing it. I want to hear what the new lead singer sounds like. I want to hear what he sounds like. And it also reminds me of, you know, remember when the late Prince was trying to get off his record deal and he became the artist formerly known mm-hmm. as Prince?
Yep.
It just reminds me of that. It reminds me of the Temptations. It reminds mm-hmm. me of that and they actually have two Temptations out
because they had the Temptations and then they had the Temptations Review.
Yeah. Yeah, they have the original Temptations, I think. And then, like you said.
Like, this is crazy. And it's always the bands of the 70s that's doing crazy stuff like that.
Well, you know, you don't hear that from the Whispers, the Gap Band.
You know why?
Because
the Whispers can still sing.
The Commodores.
They can sing without Lionel.
Wait a minute. What was the other group? The Gap Band. Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Stylistic can sing. Earth, Wind, and Fire. Stylistic can still blow. You know, it's just Frankie. And I get it. Like, you know, he had an ailment that he quite couldn't control, you know, the outcome of. But at the same time, like, okay, if you can't sing, do what Maurice White did. Sit down.
Right.
You ain't hear him complaining. They're coming to see me.
Shut up. Ain't nobody coming to see you.
These are my fans.
Are we going to see the all-white tour? When it comes to Delaware, let me know. Okay.
It ain't going to come to Delaware. It'll be in New Jersey. It won't be in Delaware. It'll be in Atlantic City.
Okay. When it comes, I want to go because now that can make up for what you missed. At that concert, $95. I'd have been mad too. I'd have demanded my money back. I would have wrote on his Facebook page, "Dear Frankie, Beverly, and Maze, I want my money back."
Oh, think I did not. Oh, I sure did. While I was sitting at the concert, I was on his page saying, "This cat needs to sit down somewhere. He sucks." His concert, horrible. I'll be sure not to go back and buy another one of your tickets either.
But why would you go here? I'll be sure he can't.
I'll be sure it was part of the show that I went to see.
I'll be sure. As much as I love, I'll say how I feel about you. That's how you say. What do you expect from something different? He just bangs above a whisper.
I really don't like you, though. There's no Christopher Williams, next time you write, I won't wait.
Oh, my God. They're cousins. What was you expecting? Listen, if you want to hear some good singing, listen. Fantasia, BB, Fanny.
Tasia always. Tasia gives a show.
I won't even go here.
Ooh, Tasia gives a show every time.
Yeah, I'll even go hear Mary J. Blige.
Mary gives a show every time. When I say every time, Mary gives a show every time. And half the time, she can't even sing, but it's a show every time. You know what makes Mary so good is that when Mary is going through, Mary will give you a show.
Good music.
Listen, she would make you think you going through.
She'll give you some good music now, man.
You feel every bit of Mary's pain. Every bit of it. Oh,
we love you, Mary J. Blige.
Bit, Mary, I feel your pain every bit. If you acted as good as you sung when you was in pain, girl, your performance on Power would be phenomenal.
I don't know. I haven't watched Power too.
You ain't missing nothing.
Mm-hmm. And this is going to be my last top topic. I don't watch reality TV shows, but I thought this was kind of funny. So as everyone, you know who Orlando Brown is. Orlando Brown used to play Eddie on That's a Raven, Three T on Family Matters. What else was he on? Sticky on.
Proud Family.
So he's a child actor. He's been through a plethora of situations. Dealing with mental illness. Apparently, substance abuse. He said that Nick Cannon gave him the how do you explain? He didn't even use words. He said something.
He said Bow Wow had good booty. Bow Wow
had good booty? Bow Wow, and he said that Raven gave him the BB the Bop. And so he went to church on Sunday, and he felt the spirit, and he was dancing.
He went to the Potter's house and got that Michael Jackson holy.
He was dancing in the church. So it is streamed, so you can see it. People have posted on social media that have about him, you know, feeling the spirit. But then I happened to catch a clip of, is it Bad Boys Wet? Texas.
Yes, the Bad Boys, Texas. Yeah.
On it, Kirk Franklin's son,
Carry on. That's what he does. He carries on.
Raz B. And that's all I know. Cause that's all I know from the. That's all I can recognize. I don't know them other folks because I don't know who them folks is. I didn't know. It was one little dude with braids in his hair and another dude that they were fighting. And then it's this dude named Chef something. And it's just, I don't know. Reality TV is a little weird to me. It's not in my wheelhouse to give it that much attention.
But go ahead.
But I just wanted to, you know, kind of bring that up because, I mean.
That's not even reality TV. Zeus Network is purely Ratchet TV.
I wanted to bring Orlando Brown and going to church and feeling the spirit and stuff like that because I wanted to kind of talk about that because some folks, I read some people's commentary about it that they felt like it wasn't the right place to, you know, to film him, to show him, put on social media. I just wanted to talk about that and get your thoughts on that.
I believe that churches should have a no cell phone policy. Period. This is a time that we are in our most intimate states with God. If anything, there are a lot of free streaming services out there that the church can take part in if they want people to hear the word. But the majority of the people who post about church online are only posting the musician or the shouts, period.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been saying it for years now. I do not agree with cell phones being in church because we are recording the wrong things. This is why the world has made a mockery of the church. And truth be told, this is why the enemy has understood the best tactics of defeat against his weapons of warfare is because we have opened the church up to the world and we have made a mockery of it. The shout is now choreographed. It's rehearsed before we go to church. We think it's cute. And we're not serious about this as much as we used to be. Speaking in tongues are now practiced. So now everybody in the church sounds the same. Like, I really, 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 really feel we need to go back to the times that if you want to impress me, record the message. Don't put the shout on Facebook. Put the message on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't put the choir. We know Ray Ray can sing. Don't put the choir. We know Shaniqua can blow. And we know Mariah can scream. We impress me. Put the message up in its entirety. And then give a synopsis of it when it's done. And you leave the church, then give us a synopsis of what was preached so that we understand that you can cognitively comprehend what you heard.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us how you're going to apply it to you. That's how you impress me. I am over what we do when it comes to the shout. And I feel like, truthfully, I feel like you're an invasion of privacy. Y'all sit and y'all, you know, and the church folk is the worst folk because we sit and we pick from the shout who we can talk about. Ooh, did you see his mm-hmm. footwork? Did you see this? Did you see that? You know, and don't get it wrong. I like joking. I love joking. But when you are invading someone's intimate time with God, you are giving mm-hmm. You are giving the enemy access to block their release. And he, of all people, he needs a release.
Right.
He should have took Raz B to church with him.
I don't know if. I wonder if they will show it on the show. Maybe they won't. I don't know. I'm interested in see who else from that house went with them. Maybe Carry On went.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Yeah. Oh, one more thing. I'm sorry, I forgot to add this. Trump was found liable for sexually abusing and defaming E. Jean Carroll in a civil trial.
When is he going to jail? That's the only question I have.
He's not going to jail because it's a civil suit. He is ordered to pay her $5 billion. He will not face criminal because this was not
a criminal. So when does the state pick this up like they did Bill Cosby?
No, that's not going to happen.
Holla at me when y'all for real about some stuff when it comes to Trump. That's how I look at Trump right now. Holla at me. When y'all really gonna put? When I see y'all put cuffs on him and he dressing orange to match his skin, you don't even have to put him in a jumpsuit. You can just strip him off his clothes and walk him right through the prison bars.
Ah! The match his skin.
I'm over it with Trump. I'm not even gonna hold you. I am so over it with Trump. I believe that at the end of the day, It's time for America to wake up, and it's time for America to stop BSing when it comes to the Republican team as a whole. You've been doing it long enough.
Yeah.
Treat them like you treated Clinton.
Right.
Clinton got hid. This fool done grabbed every pussy in America. He ain't been charged yet. But R. Kelly's still in jail. Well, I mean, he was banging babies, but still. I'm telling y'all,
so they
you
have
gotta
to
get it together,
they,
people.
Thought I was just Trump. I pay her $5 million.
That ain't nothing to him.
Right.
He can take that from the account that he got the people money he got he owed money to.
He's not taking it lying down. He is appealing, like, of course.
Well, of course. And then he's going to be on CNN and Fox News talking about it as part of his campaign because they like that foolishness. That's what they do.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, they like the foolishness because they racist anyway and don't like Democrats. I said it.
But don't like them, damn.
Democrats are Negro lovers. It's a good old country boys news station.
Okay, yep. I think we should dig into our topic tonight.
All right, I'm with it.
So our topic tonight is called Cuts to Instability. It deals with people who
hold on,
cannot
real
live
quick,
without relationships.
Real quick, sorry.
Sure.
Disclosure. This is our thoughts. You don't like it, turn it off. But if you want to call in, you can do so. 319-527-6083. 319-527-6083. Come on and chat with your brothers. We would love to have you back in your hands.
All right.
We had to give a disclaimer. Why you get quiet, sir? Go ahead. As you were saying, I'm sorry.
The disclaimer took me by surprise. All right, so we want to talk about people who cannot live without relationships. They're kind of, they break up, and then the next minute they're in another one, and that can mean they feel insecure. They don't want to be by themselves. They want to be lonely. So they break up. They get into another relationship not too long after. Or, we're trying to figure out, is this unhealthy? Is these relationships unhealthy? Is it really worth it? So that's what we're discussing tonight. Our relationships. Why do people want to be in relationships? Is it really and truly healthy? All right. So, what's your thoughts, bro? Because, let's see, do I know anyone that couldn't live without relationships?
You definitely know somebody. You absolutely know somebody. I will text you his initials.
Why are we being messy? Why you being messy? That's messy.
No, it's not. Messy would have been if I called it out.
why am I lost and don't know who this is?
Okay, so my thought.
No. I say that I don't think they can be without relationships. I think they have. I think this is what I believe. It is. It's not that they can't live without relationships. I don't think they really know what they want. I feel like they get into relationships just have the ability to be in them and not really know what they want, because they want this idea of a relationship, this ideal of marriage, and I think they just don't know what they want, and they're trying to figure it out. But in order to figure that out, they got to figure out what they really truly want of themselves. And I feel like that's what's really the problem. The problem is they don't really know what they want from themselves, because you can't be in a relationship with someone, one that for 6 months, break up with them, and then 2 months later or 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later, you with somebody else saying the same thing that you want to marry them, you want to be with them, you want to put a ring on it, and you want to do all these things, but then you're with the next person, you're with them the same amount of time you was with the last relationship. So it's to me, it's an endless cycle. Like I think that comes from within, not knowing what they really want of themselves.
That's what that comes from. Okay. I think that people are too attached to worrying about what everybody else is going to say. That's what I think. So I think we have this perfect image in our head, and we want certain things in our head because it allows us to be seen a certain way, whether that be professionally or personally, or whether it makes us feel like we become the envy of our friends, because some of us need the spotlight to survive. And I feel that many people are cuffed to instability because it's not so much as a fear of being alone. It's a fear of waking up and realizing you are by yourself. I'd rather be alone and be bitter than to be unhappy and cuffed. You're stuck in a situation. You don't even like the person. You're sitting here playing. You're sitting in your playing relationship, and it's making you look like a fool. One thing I don't like is people who have been with you have been with somebody for Lord knows how long, and the relationship has gone nowhere. And in your head, you're asking yourself, at least I will be asking myself, is this really worth it?
Right.
If you have to wake up and ask that question every single day, baby, it ain't worth it. Why is you still there? There are people that love or would love to be able to love you, and then for the others, especially for the one that I text you, it's about worrying about everything else, because you want to make sure that when people see you, they see you based upon the fact of you look like you got it all together.
I'm sorry for laughing, because what you text me, that person really needs work.
Yeah. You look like you got it all together. You look like everything is great, because you boast and you brag and you boast and you brag so much. So you got to make sure that everything that you boast and you brag about is actually looking like something, because if it doesn't look like something, then that means somebody going to be able to tell that your ass is a liar.
Right.
So
okay.
I'm going to boast, I'm going to brag, I'm going to do everything that I can, and I'm going to just, I can say, ooh, look at me, it finally happened. Ooh, look at me, somebody wants me. Ooh, look at me, somebody needs me. No, they don't, boo. You want to be able to give someone a label because it sounds right in your eyes.
Labels are not being labeled something or doing it for the show of others is weak. I feel like when you start doing that, you're allowing the opinions of others to rule your life. I don't like when people do that. Like, what you think about my relationship or my life, you know, even with me being single, I know a lot of people say, why are you single? You shouldn't be single, this, this, and this. But that's your opinion. I get it. That's your opinion. You feel like I need to be with someone, and that may not be what I need right at the moment. I don't want to be with someone who doesn't care about my feelings or someone who doesn't appreciate me. I'd rather that not happen. And I think a lot of people want the appearance of relationship or stuck to instability because they like that instability because it gives them attention. Mm-hmm. You know, people want that attention. They like the attention. They like how it feels, and they like how it makes them feel, and, oh, all eyes on me. But then you in people's inboxes, you trying to talk to other people at the same time. But you talk about you want to be in a committed relationship with someone else, but you're in a double-minded man, as scripture would say, is unstable in all his ways. So if you're in this instability with someone, then you are, what's the purpose for you trying to be with one person? Because you're already unstable. So by you being unstable, all you're doing is causing the instability to do ripple effects throughout your life. So you're going to be unstable in one area, you're going to be unstable in all areas of your life. So I think when we look at instability, when we look at these things, when we look at being stuck to instability, we need to change that mindset. And I think what ends up happening for some folks is they don't change their mindset, or they don't look at themselves inwardly. They don't look enough within.
Right. But some folks don't look enough within because they're still too busy trying to compare themselves to others too. Like, I believe some people actually are in relationships because, at least in my eyes, I feel like some people are in relationships because they don't want someone else to look better than they do. And I do know people who are like that, where it's like, I'm in a relationship because I don't want nobody to say nothing about me because they're in a relationship and their relationship is going well. And so I compare my relationship to their relationship, and then I'm unhappy in my relationship because the person who I'm trying to compare myself to, relationship is going much better than mine. Sometimes you just got to accept it for what it is. Because we didn't put you in that relationship. You chose to be with that person.
Exactly.
You know, so it's either you're going to be with them or you're going to leave them. But figure out which one you're going to do.
Right.
So I'm really big on understanding, like, you know, the choices you make are the choices that you make.
Right.
You know, and it's not our responsibility as your friends or as your family to make you happy. Like, if you're unhappy, your first step should be finding your happiness. Finding that in you that makes you say, you know what, if I do decide to do this, I'm doing it for me. I'm not doing it for my mama. I'm not doing it for my brothers. I'm not doing it for my children. I'm dealing with a person because this is who I want to deal with for me. Many of us are failing ourselves because we're in relationships for the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, why are you in a relationship? Because because I got the time, I took the time to get to know someone, and I fell for who I took the time to get to know. So now, in the midst of taking the time and getting to know the person, now I've taken the time to build with the person. Mm-hmm. But if you should say, you know, oh, you know, what you learning from your relationship, I'm learning a lot. I'm learning that I don't like BS. I'm learning that, you know, it's okay not to always be nice. I'm learning that I got to do what I got to do for me first.
Right.
But the day that this relationship ain't working, I'm going to kiss it goodbye. And what I mean by ain't working, it ain't working on Monday. I'm saying ain't working as in this thing ain't working on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, love. So I got to go because I'm not gonna keep me unhappy.
Right.
Because people refuse to get themselves together. But in the midst of me doing what I do and loving who I am, you know, I had to learn to love me first. I was single for 6 years. And in that 6 year time, I had to get me together. And I'm gracious for those 6 years. Because it allowed me to learn me. In those 6 years, I wrote a book. In those 6 years, I shed a lot of tears. In those 6 years, I closed a lot of chapters. In those 6 years, I found me. I found out what mm-hmm. I like to do versus what I don't like to do. I found out what I would tolerate versus what I wouldn't tolerate. I put myself a plan of action together. I found my 5-year plan, my 10-year plan. I found the, if this don't work the way it's supposed to work, do this. I found that what I would accept and what I would no longer tolerate. And these are the things that you need to know before going into a relationship. No, you don't have to have it all together because at the end of the day, boo-boo, guess what? If you ain't got it all together, that gives the relationship something to build.
Right. I think I like what you said because many people don't know themselves and don't know what they want, but they don't also have a desire to know what they want.
Right.
Right. I think a lot of us are lazy lovers, but we're lazy lovers of ourselves. We're mm-hmm. lazy about ourselves. We're lazy to get to know ourselves. We're too lazy to even figure it out or figure out what we want. Because a lot, when I'm constantly asked this question, what do you want in a relationship? And when I say, I don't know, that's being lazy. Because you know, 'cause 9 out of 10, half of us know what we want.
Is it being lazy or is it really self-doubt? Some of us want something that we don't even think we're capable of receiving.
Some of us is self-doubt, and then some of it is laziness.
Yeah. And then for others,
some of it is self-doubt.
Yeah, some of it is self-doubt. And then for others, it's the simple fact of, truthfully, you know, I want something that I know I don't even qualify for. Like, let's just be real. But there are some people who still want somebody who's going to take care of them. And they'll say 1,000 times, I don't need nobody to take care of me because I take care of myself and I do a good job taking care of myself and da 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 da. But as soon as they see their good girlfriend, boyfriend take them somewhere or their good girlfriend, boyfriend do something for them that your boyfriend ain't doing, you all pissed off. But this is what you chose. This is who you chose. And he, truthfully, he wasn't doing nothing day one. So, you know, this is the thing that gets me. I see we got a caller on the line. All right, caller, I see you live. How you doing? Welcome to the brothers. If you would like, you can give us your name, but also give us your thoughts on tonight's show.
Are you just calling to listen in?
Well, I don't know because I see a hand raised. That's why I kind of wondered. Like, they're live, but I see the hand raised. Huh?
It's like Zoom when they raise their hand.
I don't know, but this is the first time I've seen a hand raised, so I figured they wanted to say something. So I guess you called to listen in. Let me put you back in listening mode. But, yeah, so, I mean, that's the thing for me. Like, you know, I just feel like if I'm going to be if I'm going to be on board, like sometimes I got to be on board with understanding who I am. That is not one of the numbers in my phone, so I don't even know who you are. And I feel like I got to be on board with making sure that everything is good. And we don't get that all the time, you know, because we're so gung-ho about what other people think, how other people feel, how other people work, how other people operate, how other people do this and how other people do that. And truthfully, it's like I just want to see someone who I would love to just see somebody who's in a natural relationship where they can say, I'm in this relationship because I really care about the person I'm with and I really care about growing together. And if we can't grow together, we don't need to be together.
Right.
And they're okay with that.
I think relationships in this form or in this current society are often, they're interesting. Say that. They're interesting. So I think when we really talk about ties to instability and people forming relationships and going from one to the next or one to this one, I think we need to really look at why are people leaving their current relationships. Like you said, like, why are they not happy? Are they not happy on the inside? Are they not happy with themselves? Like, why are people leaving these relationships? I would look at it from that point of view, but I also would look at it from the point of view of finding what true fulfillment is for yourself. Are you fulfilled in the relationship you're in? And if you're not, how can you change it?
Right.
How can you change it? How can you make it better? How can you make it worth it? I would like this call. Whoever the caller is, would you like to say something?
You want me to go back to unmute? You want me to bring them back in live? Right.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
Caller, you're on with the brothers. Would you like to say something? I'm trying not to call your number out loud.
Okay, I guess not.
All right, that works.
when you're tied to instability as well, like I said earlier, like I think you have to be cautious about being unstable in every aspect of your life. I think we need to focus on rebuilding our stability as well. When you are in these unstableness, is to rebuild your stability. I think that, again, if you're in a relationship you don't want to be in or have no desire to be in, definitely get out of it. Definitely move on. Definitely don't hold someone back because you're not in a place. Really look at all factors and who's being impacted and who needs to be, you know, released. I think that's one of the things we need to really look at when we're tied to instability.
Yes.
Because I think that it's detrimental to our emotional health, our mental health, our physical health, but also our it's detrimental to those areas.
Yeah. I like it.
What else, bro? I feel like we've covered this topic. Again, if you would like to chime in or have something to say, we would love for someone that's listening to call in and share your thoughts and your ideas, or your thoughts about being, or if someone is tied to instability, you're in a relationship, or you're in a, even with, and it doesn't have to be a romantic relationship, it could be a platonic relationship, it could be a friendship. Because
or
sometimes
if, even if you have a question, if you have a question, we will take your question.
Yeah.
If you're tuning in live, which you have to be right now, there is a chat feature on your Blog Talk that you can chat if you don't feel comfortable coming across the air. Send a chat through and ask your question with the chat feature. We'll be excited to receive that.
Yeah.
I want my team to stop being so scared when they come across these airwaves. But I think if you don't, if you don't learn to unshackle yourself, I feel that you are going to be harming yourself more than you will be loving yourself.
Yeah.
Self-love is the greatest form of flattery to yourself. It's the best thing you can do for yourself is to love yourself first. Because if you don't love you, if you don't know who you are, if you don't push for success, if you don't reach for your own stars, if you don't tell yourself, I got this, I can do this, then that means that
right.
No matter what type of relationship you are in, be it a relationship, a friendship, a situationship, anything that someone says to help you will hurt you because you will not know how to receive honest feedback and honest criticism that will help you grow. And remember, when you are dating somebody, it is their job to build you. But if your building is not made with the right foundation because you've never had that before or because you have so much self-doubt in yourself, then that means that every time they go to lay a solid foundation and their foundation begins to mold, it's going to, your portion is going to still crumble because the foundation you started with was weak. People cannot repair something that is constantly broken. So if you ever wonder why so many people have replaced you, it's because you're coming into situations constantly broken. There, in order for businesses to survive, in order for something to be sturdy, sometimes they have to do a complete shutdown and a renovation. And many of you listening today need to renovate yourself. You need to do a shutdown, and you need to renovate the space you occupy within yourself so that you can build yourself, so that you can make yourself more stable, so that you can make yourself more reliable to yourself, so that you can love on yourself enough to build your esteem up. So that people, that when people try to help you, they're not tearing you down. Many of you are simply broken because you refuse to build you. And it's not our job to build you. It's not like as your friends, as your lovers, as your significant others, excuse me, it's not our job to build you. But it's our job to make sure that you are able to officially be, you're able to grow. And when we grow, it's a growth that happens together. Many people are selfish because that's what they've been taught. It's because every time I gave to someone, they hurt me. Okay, and I get it. But they didn't hurt you because you were easy. They hurt you because you were unstable. So they walked away because you didn't know what you wanted. And when you're dealing with someone who is focused, you're dealing with somebody who is driven, they're not going to deal with you for a long time if I'm driven and I got to drive you too. It's enough issues driving my car. And I can't operate two cars at one time. So you can either roll side by side with me or you can get behind me and let me lead. But one thing for certain, if two things is for sure, if I go left and you go right, you then went to a whole different direction. And you have caused your own method of being lost. I can't stop where I'm at to keep waiting for you to catch back up on the direction that we're heading at. So you have to ask yourself, what is your strengths? What are your weaknesses? And be upfront with that when you're with somebody. This is for people now who are dating or trying to date. Be upfront with who you are. Be upfront with what you want. Be upfront with what you deserve. Be upfront with what you will accept and what you won't accept. Don't shut in. When you close in, that shows a sign that of hurt that you have not gotten past. And that will make a person leave something that could be beneficial for both of you. Like, honestly.
Right.
And so that's my biggest thing. Like, you know, and we're going to give this caller one more chance. One more chance to say something. I see you on the line, 612. You know, could you at least say hi?
Yes, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. There we go.
Okay, there we go. Sorry about that. I apologize. Thanks for taking my call, by the way.
All good. Thanks for tuning in to the brothers.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask the three of you, do the three of you believe in God? Are you guys Christians?
We are.
Okay, so the reason I ask this is like the current culture and day and age we're living in now with everything we got going on, I almost got to wonder, as far as dating-wise, what is there really out there to go for? I mean, for lack of a better term, most women are extremely promiscuous now. Society, everything. I mean, I don't really see it from a Christian. Now, if you're not a Christian, knock yourself out. But if you are a Christian, I just don't really see what's out there to necessarily go for anymore.
I think we're products of our societies. We're products of our upbringing, and we're products of I won't say so much of our day and age, but we're products of what we allow ourselves to entertain ourselves. I think today's times, you don't have the typical church-believing Christians anymore. But if we look at today's times, let's just be real. Many people who are in the church today were not raised by parents who had rules, regulations, and moral values. So many of us nowadays, especially in today's generation, are raised by people who don't understand the concept of moral values because I got pregnant early, or my mother wasn't there, or my father wasn't there, so I'm already coming into a situation hurt, and then here I give birth to someone whose parent also isn't there. And so we have broken homes raising broken families. And so I think that the first thing that we have to do is understand that the reason I'm in church might be to find something that I didn't even know I possessed. I'm in church trying to find who I really am. And so you have an option to accept them for who they are and then help them grow from where they are, or you have an option to say, you know what, let me just be your friend until I can see greater in you because you're not where I need you to be at right now. Everybody right now is not relationship ready, and everybody is not marriage material. So in my eyes, I feel that what the church really lacks today, number one, the church used to be the hospital that showed you what you weren't getting at home. Nowadays, a lot of the churches are becoming more like a social, I won't say a social club, but, you know, like a membership-only organization.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's a social club. You're right. You're right on it.
You know what I mean? So we have to first change the scope of why people are coming to the house. I'm coming to the house damaged. If I'm coming to the house damaged and the house is damaged, then
that's
again, the culture doesn't change. It's broken, raising broken.
That's true. Yeah, it's because they don't fear God anymore. That's what it comes down to. The churches basically late 90s, early 2000s decided they made a financial choice. They became what they call seeker sensitive. In other words, they wanted to, everything was about how big the church was get, how many people are showing up, how much money they're getting. And so in order to maximize that, they decided we're not going to talk about the fear of God. We're not going to talk about hell. We're not going to talk about judgment day. We're not going to talk about repentance. We're not going to talk about sin. Definitely not going to talk about holiness. We're just going to talk about love, grace, acceptance, and we're going to give a bunch of motivational speeches.
Well, maybe
and
the
what
church
we see in America today is the direct byproduct of all of that right now. That's
well,
what
right
we're
now,
seeing. 20 years of that is what we got today.
But see, here's my thing, too. Many of the churches today are based off of man-made doctrine. We don't have the theocratic process in church anymore. So if you look at the Word of God, the Word of God speaks that God speaks to the head speaks to the body. But nowadays, once we begin to change that rule, and we begin to worry more about how many members stay versus how many members stay that begin to work the field, then we became a bigger issue in the church. So I think that I think for me, and I'm not knocking the church, because I love going to church, but I do challenge the church to be more influential to the people that they serve, because at the end of the day, we're called to serve. And so in order for us to do what we've been called to do, there has to be a change. So we can't be afraid of, many pastors are afraid of the topics of hell and the topics of holiness, because if I offend somebody, they're not coming back next week.
And their money goes out the door with them. That's what it's all about.
But let's
and
be real.
And think about it, especially in the black community, the black church is way too many women, and the pastors cater to women. And what's the one thing, especially modern women in America, are allergic to? Accountability. You try holding a woman today in America accountable, you'll get called every name under the sky. I mean, they're allergic to it. And so
but
what do you see in the churches?
I'm allergic to
they
it,
don't
or
see,
is
they,
it that I've never had it, so I don't know how to
receive it? No. They're allergic to it. That, like, for example, let's win in relationship bad. Let's think of it like this. Women have all kind of boundaries and preferences they have for men, right? And they have no problem putting it out there. If a man tries to establish preferences and boundaries for women, like, for example, having a low body count, oh, my gosh, you're a sexist, you're a misogynist, you're this, you're that. Look how society's working. It's everything is catered to the way the women think. And women think emotionally, women don't think logically. Reality, life teaches men accountability, even if you don't believe in God. I mean, if you believe in the Lord, you know that we're accountable to God and we're going to stand before him on judgment day. But even if you're not a believer, life in society teaches men that you're accountable for your actions. So if you as a man get up and try to act like you're all that and you're not, the world will slap you in the face and tell you that you're not. But when a woman does it, they're celebrated. Like, look at Lizzo, for example. How do you think she's famous? To be that out of shape and to look the way she is, she's applauded for it. You think a man could do that? Of course not. So what do you see in the churches today, especially in the black church? They appeal to the women, so they don't teach anything about accountability to God. That's why so many of these black churches there, they appease homosexuality. I mean, you go down the list, because it's all about just God loves you. It's just love. It's acceptance. That's it. That's why the society is the way it is. You meet so many of these LGBT activists and, people part of that group, you'd be shocked how many of them are Christians that think you can still be a Christian and a practicing homosexual. Just like you can meet Christians who think that they can be a Christian and still have sex out of marriage and it's no problem. You'd be shocked how many girls you'll meet that are promiscuous, but they'll tell you they're a believer.
So, but at the end of the day, too, you also have Christians who are still, you still have pastors who are sleeping with secretaries. I mean, I think the end of the day, we have to.
That's
we
my
have
point.
To,
the church doesn't fear God.
We have to
the
not
pastors
justify.
Don't fear God. And because they don't fear God, they don't teach the fear of God. And then the people don't fear God. And then the greater society doesn't fear God. Because think about it. 2008 Democratic primary. Barack Obama running against Hillary Clinton for the Democratic nomination. both of them came out on the record during those campaigns opposing gay marriage. Think about that. Obama and Clinton were openly against gay marriage in 2008. Why? Because the church feared God, and even the non-believers, which they both are, even though they don't care about God, out of respect for the church, they wouldn't publicly support homosexuality. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says when the people of the Lord fear God, the nations will fear him as well. But now look at where we're at now. If that doesn't show you how much society has changed, I don't know what else will.
Definitely understand your point. Definitely understand. Now, did you go to church?
No, I don't actually. I was an atheist for most of my life, and I became a born-again Christian in my early 20s. And everything I learned about the Lord, I just learned from praying, reading the Bible, getting his presence in. The first time I went to a church, like you said, it was nothing but a social club. I could tell. Most of the people in there, they didn't care about God. They didn't love God. They weren't there for God. They were there for each other. They were there to hang out. They were there to socialize, quote, unquote. They weren't there seeking God. You can tell. Most American churches you go into today, you can feel it. The Spirit of God is not there. There's no fear of God whatsoever. No presence of God. None. And you can see it in people's conduct. I mean, when I was an atheist, I knew that most Christians were hypocrites. But even now, it's more so. When I became a believer, you can just see it. How many Christians you know regularly use foul language, get drunk, get high, have sex out of marriage, watch sports, idolize sports no different than the non-believers? It's almost, you can barely even distinguish between the two these days. They watch the same movies that the non-believers watch. They listen to the same music that the non-believers listen to. There's no distinction between them. They're not like Daniel when Daniel was living in Babylon surrounded by pagans that didn't know God, and he maintained his holiness and obedience to God in the midst of the most pagan nation that's ever existed in history. You look at America, come on, man. I meet people all the time that tell me they're a Christian, and I'm like, really? I would have never guessed you were. Had you not told me, I would have never thought you were a believer ever, just based on their conduct.
Where are you calling from? Out of curiosity.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was saying, which state are you in?
So I'm from Minnesota.
Minnesota, awesome. Yeah, I mean, you know, we and even with tonight's show, like speaking on tonight's show with being you know, cuffed to nothing, you know, I believe that a lot of the issue, and I can only speak for me, I'm going to let Maurice actually speak for himself also. I believe that and personally, many people, the Word of God says, study to show thyself approved. Oh, he hung up. I was about to dig, but he hung up on us, Maurice. I was about to dig. So in response to him, though, you know, because, oh, he called back in. Okay, his phone dropped. Let me bring him back in. Awesome. All right. So I noticed your phone had dropped, but, you know, I believe that to me, and this is just my humble opinion, the Word of God says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needing not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. If we are to be anything, we first must understand who we are. I believe in today's society, many of us don't understand who we are because we have been brought up under people who didn't know who they were. We have been raised by people who wanted us to become what they felt we should have became. And so when we finally got a taste of freedom, we went buck wild with freedom because we did not understand who we were to begin with. If the church is going to change, if the church is going to be what it's been designed to be, number one, perfection is not an option. Let's just be honest. There's nothing perfect except him who called us. But there is a demand for excellency that has to be brought into the church. There is a demand of understanding the scripture, and there is a demand of raising a broken generation. But for us to raise a generation that is broken, we have to first identify the broken parts of ourselves. That's my opinion. I'm going to let Maurice give his opinion, and then we're going to close the show out. Maurice, in your hand.
So I heard a lot in this conversation that I want to say, but I'm not going to say everything. I will say my concern about finding ourselves through the scriptures, through God, is just that. I believe the reason why churches got away from teaching a lot about hell, I don't think it has anything to do about they don't fear God. I think many churches fear God. It's how do you fear God? What is your idea of fearing Him? How do you see God? How do you see Him in your everyday life? I think one thing that we have to look at within ourselves is, how does God see me? How does He view me? And how do I take what I'm hearing, what's being preached to me, what I'm learning through these scriptures, and apply it to me so that it affects me? When our guest first said, he said women are not responsible. Hell, there's a certain responsibility for women, and then they're not a responsibility for men. I had to kind of look at that and say, okay, what does that mean? What responsibilities are not put on?
Oh, no, not responsibility, brother. Accountability.
Accountability. What accountability is not put on women? What are we holding women accountable for? But what are we also holding ourselves accountable for?
That's what I'm trying to say, is that women are not held accountable in our current culture, whereas men are held accountable. That's why women feel comfortable today about their promiscuity, whereas they weren't like that 20 years ago. 20 years ago, a woman would not brag about sleeping with 100 men. A woman wouldn't brag about that. A woman today will brag about it. They'll speak openly about how many men they're sleeping with, but they feel no shame because our society does not hold them accountable. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I think when we start talking about that, we don't hold ourselves accountable. We need to not feel comfortable with sharing our body count only for those that we may be in a relationship with. I think that when we start, we have to be careful with when we say certain things. We have to be careful with where we put our account. I'm accountable to me. I'm accountable to what I do. I'm not accountable for what someone else does. But I agree with you. Yes, social norms have changed. We've changed with the times. Social norms have changed. But I also think that we need to hold ourselves in high regard and high standard.
Do you think they've changed for the better or for the worse?
I think that some of it is better, and I think some of it is worse. I'm a teacher.
Better?
I work with – I teach kids every day. I think that we are a more – no, we're not a more open society. I think what's gotten better is the ability for women to have a voice. Women didn't have a voice years ago. Women weren't allowed to do certain things. I think Give me one example. Women are able to work outside their home. They're not seen as housewives. They're not seen in that old society, like you said earlier about Lizzo.
That old society. You mean the society that God prescribed? Remember what God said what a woman's role is supposed to be?
Okay. You asked me a question, and I want to respond to it. And that's not what God didn't prescribe for a woman to be. He prescribed for a woman to be a helpmeet. He didn't prescribe for a woman to be
The New Testament says a woman should be a keeper of the home. That's what the New Testament says. A woman should be a keeper of the home. You know what that means? I'm not talking about be a slave.
He didn't prescribe for a woman to be a slave to a man. He didn't prescribe for a woman to be that.
We're not talking about slavery, sir. We're talking about a housewife.
Hold on.
Is what God said.
When he created Eve, he created Eve to be a help.
I'm not talking about the Old Testament. I'm talking about the New
Testament.
No.
I'm talking about what a woman was created for. She was
created to be a helper for man. But what does the New Testament say about the role of a wife should be? What does the New Testament say about the role of a wife? What should she be doing?
She should be able to help. But she should also be free.
You're a Christian,
free.
Right? Are you a Christian?
Hold on. She should also be free to help. We're not talking about forcing a woman to do anything.
I'm not asking that.
Of the home, she should be able to have that responsibility to do as she likes.
I'm not saying that a woman shouldn't have a job.
I'm asking you,
what does the New Testament say that a woman's role is in the marriage? What is the wife supposed to be doing?
She's to help the husband.
I'm not talking about that. That's not what the New Testament says. The New Testament says a woman should be quiet. It says that a godly woman, let me make a point. The Bible says a godly woman is meek and quiet. That's what the Bible says, and the Bible says that a wife should be a keeper of the home. That's what the new. Now you're
can't
claiming
talk.
To be a Christian. I'm just telling you what
talk.
The New Testament says.
You're saying she can't talk because what you're saying, if you're going by the New Testament, what you're saying is the New Testament.
Are you gonna sit here and try to say that God is wrong? Are you trying to say that God is wrong about this? Come on, man. Your argument's not with me. Your argument's with the God you claim to believe in. Are you kidding me?
No, it's not. What I'm saying is you're saying that she has to keep quiet, be subservient to a man, and a man tell her what to do, but she can't say nothing. She has no voice.
I'm saying a woman is supposed to submit to a man. That's what the scripture says.
I never said she shouldn't submit to a man.
Well, I mean, the Bible also says that the Bible has a voice.
Hold on real quick, Maurice, because the Bible also says in the New Testament that the wife should see that she respects her husband. The Bible also says in the New Testament that a woman has to love their husband. The Bible also says in the New Testament that a wife has to be submissive without being hostile to their husband. The Bible also says in the New Testament, but in the same scripture, it also says, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church, which men are not doing either. It also says that men...
Well, I can't speak for
men.
I'm married. That's what I do with my wife.
Are you married?
I am married. I'm married with children. Yes.
So this is the thing that we have to understand. There are roles that the husband has as well as there are roles that the wife has.
Yeah, but that's my point about society. Society today does not want women to submit to men. That's my point. My wife submits to me. I love her and I cherish her and I treat her with respect. But what society's trying to do is they're trying to have women have the same role as a man. That's ungodly. Okay, if you're not a Christian, then whatever you can do. I mean, you don't follow God. I understand. If you're a Christian, the order of Scripture is God over Christ, Christ over man, man over woman, woman over children. That's the Scripture order that is in the Bible.
But is the society making the woman feel like she can't have a voice and be, if she's single, she should be subservient to a man? That's my question for you. If she's single and doesn't have a husband, should she be a woman?
Obviously should have the same rights as a man. She should have the same economic opportunities as a man. But a woman should never be able to have the same position or authority as a man. What do I mean by that? In the book of Isaiah, it says, "Cursed is the nation when women rule over it." That's a sign of a curse from God. The reason women are in the situation they are today in America, this is part of God's judgment.
It's because God is judging America because women are in leadership roles.
No. Women being in leadership is a sign of God's judgment. This is in the book of Isaiah. You can look it up. You can Google it right now. As we speak. That a sign of
women
God's judgment
being
is women being in a position of authority.
The only thing that women should be subservient to are their husbands.
No, women are not supposed to be in leadership in society. That's not how it's supposed to work.
Deborah was wrong for being
If you accept that, you'll see what's going on right now.
Wow.
Okay, so let's talk about this. You're a teacher, right? If you look at men and women that are single under the age of 35, that are the byproduct of this current agenda, women make more than $15,000 a year more than. It's like 80% of women under the age of 35 now are college, or I believe, are college educated, whereas the men is drastically lower. So the byproduct of this new agenda that you seem to be supportive of, the full effect of it hasn't kicked in. We're just seeing the beginning of it. The next generation, you're going to see where women are and where men are going to be and how the dynamic is going to shift. Because women do not respect a man that makes less money than she does.
But men make more money than women in certain positions, in certain jobs.
Under 35, single men and women. Hear me clearly, brother. Single men and women that are 35 years old or under, women make more money. Women are far more college educated. And men are less college educated and make less money. You can look this up. You can fact check me right now. You can Google it for yourself.
My question to you is, what you're saying is that this agenda that's being pushed is pushing women to be in leadership roles. And so at that point, God is now judging America because a woman. Women are rising up and being leaders, but they're not supposed to be. It's supposed to be.
God's not judging America because women are asking.
All I did was ask you a simple question. I just asked you a question. I'm saying, like, from what I heard and what I'm comprehending from you, and what you're saying is that God is judging based on women taking leadership roles. In position, but I work at a school, and my principal is a female. I have three women that are assistant principals in the school where I work.
I have a quick question. So the topic of tonight, we were discussing people who cannot survive without relationships. I just want to know, how did we get to where we are?
For example, the culture we live in today didn't exist before 50 years ago. It wasn't like this.
I can throw a number. I mean, years ago, yeah, you're right. It wasn't. So here's my challenge to the church. It wasn't like this years ago, and this is probably going to be the last that we really going to go with this because our time is technically winding up. There are a number of women, number one, in biblical history who were powerful women who understood the concept of submission, who understood the concept of submitting to their husband. Are there women today who won't submit to their husbands? Absolutely. Are there men today who won't submit to their wives? Absolutely.
A man never supposed to submit to his wife.
Are there men today who don't lead their homes? Absolutely. Are there men today who have failed God as much as you say, women have come out of the roles of womanhood? Are there men who have come out of the roles of manhood? Absolutely. Because if that's the case, then the students that I populate, the students that I serve, would have fathers in the household. So my issue is now far surpassing a woman just shutting up. Because I deal with women who have been abused by men. I deal with young ladies.
We're not talking about women shutting up. We're not talking about women being slaves. This is the second time you guys have tried to misrepresent.
What I said was, this is far beyond women.
Yeah, but in a relationship dynamic, let's just call it like it is. If you're in a relationship with a woman and she feels like you're not the leader, that you two are on somehow same footing, she does not respect you, man. I'm just telling you the truth. I don't care what feminist ideology you listen to, what your friend taught you.
You're not in position. You're not the leader. If you want to be
respected, that's my point.
do what you're supposed to do. No, doc, if that was your point,
that's exactly what I'm saying.
He would have been good. You definitely pulled this into like a whole different dynamic. If a man is in position, then yes, a man. If a man is in position, yes, a woman will feel comfortable with him leading. If a man is not in position, I will not feel comfortable as a woman with you being my leader. I'll respect you. I'll support you. I'll make sure that I'm doing what I have to do to make sure that there's food on the table, that the house is clean, that the children are in order, that they're doing what they're supposed to do, that that their homework is done, blah, 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 because that's just my role as a supportive female. But it goes back to what I said. If I was not taught properly, then I won't know how to do properly. So ultimately, I was failed as a child because I was never taught properly as a child. Today's generation, since you keep comparing today to 20 years ago, today, 20 years ago, there was a mother and a father in the household. 20 years ago, parents were not scared. And actually, no, because the 20 years ago would make me in my 20s. So that wasn't even true 20 years ago. But if you go back 30 to 40 years ago, you might have had a dude in the household. You may have had
a dude. But they were cultural. There were cultural norms that created a pressure. Like, for example, I wasn't raised in necessarily a really Christian home. My dad was abusive. I've seen all that. I wasn't necessarily raised in a home where I was taught to live for God. But we lived in a society that had certain pressures that even if you weren't raised right, that would kind of nudge you in the right direction. Now all that's gone.
Now
there's no boundary whatsoever.
We can't nudge nowadays because Bush signed a lot of laws that stopped the community from nudging, that stopped the parents from nudging. Like, let's just call it say what it is. You from Minnesota, you should know. Like, y'all not predominantly a Democratic state. At the end of the day, yeah, a lot of laws that were signed were not signed by people who was okay with things. It was signed by people who just wanted control of things. So we want to look at what's going on in the law.
Yeah, that's what the Democrats are doing.
No, this was done way before. This was done Reagan generation, Bush generation. This was done way before Barack Obama got in office. Let's not do that.
No. I'm talking about what's going on right now. For example, in every major city, whether it be New York, Philadelphia, Chicago, L.A., San Francisco.
What's going on
right
now,
kind
sir?
We got to go back to
where it first started.
Such as No Child Left Behind. No Child Left Behind started with Bush.
I'm not talking about the crime that we got now.
When the Democrats
get in
office,
now, but how we got here to now was
the Republicans messed up. The Democrats.
What I'm trying to say to you, brother, is listen. The point I'm trying to make is the reason you see skyrocketing crime in almost every major city in America is because we've got DAs in place that are very progressive. A lot of them are backed by Soros. That gives slap on the wrist to people when they commit crimes. So where I grew up, for example, I grew up in a heavy crime area. My brother was involved in drug dealing. He got shot. He's living in a wheelchair now the rest of his life. Okay? I grew up in that environment. Those people that live in that environment, they don't fear God at all. Right? The only thing that they had that they feared that had any restraint on their criminal activity was the fear of the police. That was it. And now what we have on these streets is there's no more fear of the cops. Because even if you get arrested, you're going to get back on the streets really quickly. That's why criminals are so emboldened now, because they have no fear of the law.
They get back on the streets quickly for the simple fact, and once again, this has nothing to do with tonight's topic, but they get on the streets quickly on the simple fact that there are laws that we can't even get signed that are made to protect today's society, because people that are running the House, non-Democrats, may I add, are not signing the bills. Why? Because they are the ones who are backed by the gun, by the NRA.
No, it has nothing to do with the federal government. It has nothing to do with the federal government.
Absolutely.
We're talking about local. This is
even
local, man. When you talk about it.
You see, what you're not going to keep on is cutting me off on my show. That's why I have a power of a mute button.
He keeps talking about local government.
Local government can't do anything that federal government is going to continue to keep blocking and overturning, because when you go to a state court, they pull federal jurisdiction, the overstate jurisdiction. At the end of the day, and we do thank you for calling, kind sir, at the end of the day, this has nothing to do with my topic.
But you know what? It's funny. I actually like his little rant, though.
I love it. But
it makes me understand this. It's his, what's the word I'm using? Misogyny, and using the scripture to kind of get his point across made me think about, this is why when we read the Bible, we read it the way we do. He said he started off saying he was an atheist. He'd been an atheist. And then he's not only did he say he was an atheist, he said, then he found God. So what you're reading in the scripture is you're taking it to mean something for you. So you're married.
You found God. But you didn't even find, he didn't even find God. But here's the thing. He found God, but he didn't find God, according to him. He didn't find God in a church atmosphere. The Bible says, forsake not the assembly of God. So we have to understand the gathering is important, number one. Sorry, these hot chips is calling my name. But number two, we have to understand that. How can you, if I'm switching cultures or I'm switching religions or beliefs, but I'm not switching mindsets? You know, we have to understand
and
that if our mind,
and
if
he's
our mind
literally
is not,
taking that, and he's literally taking, he's literally taking the word for what it is. Because when I even brought up the point of what you're saying, a woman doesn't have a voice. Because those scriptures, you're using a woman keep silent. What are you using it for? Are you using it to, she can't talk, she doesn't have a voice? I need to know.
That scripture didn't even pertain to a relationship. That pertained to the church.
It pertained to the women yelling. Doing the service. He gonna bother us for the next 2 weeks. I love every minute of it.
But here's the good thing, because I love when someone bothers me. I have the power to accept who we want to accept and the power to deny who we want to deny. This has been a
good
show.
I think it makes me say that there are people in this world who still have these outdated, antiquated beliefs about women, because I was listening to him, and I know we got to go, because I don't know about you, but I haven't eaten. But when he started talking about Lizzo, and, now we want a body shame. Now we want to do all this other stuff that, okay, let you have that one. But this podcast, again, this podcast will talk about any topic. Bring up any topic. We will talk about anything. And we like to be challenged. But do know what we're not going to do here and make people feel like they ain't crap. Because we know that this country has a culture of treating women like they're second-class citizens. We know that women couldn't vote. Hell, we couldn't vote as people of color.
Absolutely. And if you're going to come at me with a people of color, I'm going to need you to be a person of color, which I also know you weren't, sir. Yeah. So, with that being said.
My brother.
next week's show.
Who want to spar with us next week? Who want to come on the show and spar with us?
We expect y'all to come back again. We're going to even try to get a couple guest hosts next week to come on in, too.
Wait a minute.
My guy called Jay Wills up. Like, yo, Jay, come online next week. Nah.
If she was on tonight, we would have had a probably
call
right
tonight,
now.
She would have had a lot to say. But we really thank y'all. Let me just say this. I do apologize that got off topic, because y'all know we stick to our topics on this show. I have a pet peeve that your comprehension of the topic should also relate to the comprehension you have for the word, which apparently we see is off. But we're grateful that you called in. You can talk about our show now, but if you do, I'm just going to ask that you publicly tag us so I can publicly respond. You might not like how it comes out my throat on social media, but I'll do it in a nice Christian way. We are excited that you guys are always allowing us in your homes. We thank you for allowing us on your radios, on your podcasts. We thank you for allowing us on your streaming networks. We thank you for Blog Talk for being who you guys are. We thank you. Of course, we're on social media. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're about to take on LinkedIn and Twitter. Our website is almost complete. We are offering advertisement spots for small business owners. If you're interested, please reach out to myself or Maurice on social media or reach out to our brother's podcast social media about that. But we are doing advertisement spots for locals or for small businesses across the United States. We are now heading into the middle of our second season. This has been a season. And we are just so grateful to have each and every one of you listening in and tuning in from wherever you're tuning in from. Tonight's caller, as you heard, was from the good town of Minnesota, and I wish
Minnesota.
I'm quite sure you make Prince want to reach from heaven and smack the piss out of you. But, we're excited. We're grateful. We're grateful for you, sir. You tried it.
Before you go, here's another disclaimer. We are not a conservative. Dre and I are not conservative Christians, and we're not Republican.
That's it. We are radical Christians.
Devereaux. We're not Republican. We're not Republican. So our views may not match, what you are used to. But if you're gonna come on this, please, if you're gonna come on here and have something to say and challenge us, make sure what you're saying is you can't say what today's time and mean something from 20, 30 years ago. It is not the same time. And we have to look at the times of where it came from. And I know, Dre, we got to go.
We got as much time as we need.
Yeah. But I wanted to say this. A lot of what he was saying came from Republican presidents. Even with the fearing of the police, that was started through the Reagan era. The police was because of the war on drugs. All of that came about during Ronald Reagan. The reason why, how do I know? I was a child during Ronald Reagan's terms in office. So I know that it was the police presence, the police being feared was because of that era, the war on drugs. Dre, you know, because of Nancy Reagan's Say No to Drug campaign.
Absolutely.
Because of that, No Child Left Behind is because in education, students were not getting the best education. So what ended up happening is, and it was meant for students who had special needs. And the other part was, it was because our black children were not getting adequate education. And so, No Child Left Behind.
But they're not getting the adequate education because they have the No Child Left Behind laws, which allow you to just push a child through when you see they need the extra help.
So this is not Conservative Republican podcast. We're going to hit all angles. We're going to talk about LGBT. Wait a minute, I can't even say it. But you know what I'm saying. We're going to talk about the alphabet. We're going to talk about those things. Why? Because it's today's society. If you come on here and think that we're going to be like, no more gays, get them away. No more games. Get them away. You've come to the wrong podcast.
Wrong podcast. Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
And I wasn't even talking about women in ministry.
I bet, what's that? Oh, God. go ahead. Keep talking.
Women in ministry. Women should, when he said that about women don't have, I'm like, what? God is judging America because women are in leadership positions. I said, what?
He reminds me of,
But then you don't want to talk about the Old Testament. You want to talk about the New Testament. But you clearly forgot that Deborah was a judge over Israel.
Hello. I didn't even want to talk about female leaders, Adam, because I could tell he wasn't ready for female leaders. He wasn't ready.
Jezebel was the queen of...
He wasn't ready.
Queen. Take portions of the Bible and make it fit what you need it to fit.
But that once again, that goes back to studying to show thyself approved unto God. Rightly dividing the word of truth. And so that's where we fall short. We don't rightly divide the word of truth. We miss the fact that Deborah was appointed by God. We miss the fact that there were other women in the
Bible. There were women disciples.
That were, yes, that's what I'm saying. You know, that there were women who were chosen.
Lois.
Miriam was a prophetess.
What was a prophetess? My AirPods are dying.
This has been a good podcast tonight. We thank you for calling in once again, sir. We hope you call in another time. I'm not going to hold you. Just be careful, because you can only overstep the host but so many times before I forget that we fall down, but we get up.
Oh, my goodness. We are in a two-hour mark. We hope you enjoyed this podcast this week, because I surely did.
Tune in next week where we will have, once again, another interesting topic. On behalf of my brother Maurice from this charmed city of Baltimore, Maryland, on behalf of myself, live from presidential headquarters in the great state of Delaware, where we are all Democrats except for them slow people downstate. We thank you for tuning in. We hope you guys had a ball like we did. We hope you guys are going to tune in next week. We hope more callers call back in next week. Of course, you can hit us on social media. Of course, you can hit us wherever your podcast is airing from. Tomorrow, this thing will be live on Apple Music. This show is going to blow the minds of Apple listeners. Yes, cancel culture. If you would do me a favor and cancel him, that call will be good.
Oh, no. We're not going to cancel
him. No, we're not going
to
do that.
We
had a both opinions, and we thank you for your opinions. Not saying that our opinions matter, but once again, you know, we do not just require, but we also demand respect when you call this show. So get your point across, but please stick to the topic. Until next time, I'm your boy Dre. Sending love to our brother Javon. Sending love to our listeners. Sending love to our friends of the show, and we will look forward to seeing you guys next week. Same podcast channel, same podcast time. This is the brothers, and we are out. The eagle has landed.